And now we'll turn the page, literally. It's time for the Litography Project.
Ah, the Litography Project!
Shh!
Your guide to the literary Bay Area.
Today we've got a book report for you in which we ask Bay Area writers to tell us about a book that's meaningful for them. Today we hear from Ann Nesbitt, a writer from Berkeley.
My name is Ann Nesbitt, and my book report is on The Wicked and the Just by J. Anderson Coates. So The Wicked and the Just is the story of two girls whose worlds and lives collide, sort of kaboom, explosively at the end of the 13th century in North Wales. One girl is Cecily, and she's English, and she comes to Wales with her father, basically as settlers in a land that's just been recently subjugated by the English. And in the corner of her home, she finds a servant girl named Guinevere, Gwynny, who seems very morose and not very jolly. But the reason is that Gwynny is Welsh, and she has just been kicked out of her house and lost everything, and now has to be a servant for the despised English. So I'm fascinated by stories about cultures that are in collision, and about places where there are very radically different points of view on what's happening. And this story is brilliant in the way that it shows those two points of view. We get some parts of it are written from the perspective of Cecily, the English girl. Then other parts are written from the point of view of Gwynny, the Welsh girl. And you really become aware of how much suffering has gone on in both of their lives, and yet how they oppress each other, I mean, especially the English girl. So I'd like to read a passage from The Wicked and the Just. It actually is the very first passage from the book, and it's from Cecily's point of view. Tonight at supper, over capon and relish, my father ruined my life. He smiled big, scrubbed his lips with the end of his cloak, and said, "We're moving house." Thank the Blessed Virgin, I sat up straighter and smoothed my kirtle. I'm weary to thimbles of Coventry. Will we be back at Edgeley Hall in time for the Maypole? No, sweeting, we're not going back to Edgeley. We're moving to Caernarvon. What in God's name is that? It's a town in Wales. I'm in my chamber now. I will never speak to him again, unless he buys me a new pelisson for the journey. I'll not go to Caer Wetsit, not while there's breath in me. I love this opening, because it's completely misleading. When you hear it, you think you're in a completely different kind of story than you actually are going to find yourself in. And that's true for Cecily, too. She thinks the bad thing about the English moving to Wales is that it inconveniences girls like her who want to have nice clothes. But what happens over the course of the story is it changes from being this sort of lighthearted romp almost into something that's infinitely darker. Anybody who is interested in the really complex, difficult parts of history would be interested in this book. Here's a story that starts off as a sort of lighthearted tale of a girl being, you know, moved off to a new world. And then that new world slowly turns out to have all sorts of shadows in it. And you have this incredibly gripping description of the massacre of the English in this Welsh town and how everything flips over. And at that point, you're thinking, oh gosh, where can this go? And it manages to stay complicated, even through the resolution of the immediate story. And that is something I think is rare, and it's really gripping to read and quite wonderful.